Privilege to my brothers to welcome all of you to the house of the Lord today. We are glad each one of you are here. We have some guests. We have some we haven't seen for a while. And it's great to have you here to come back with us. We've got several that are out and involved in other services. Sometimes we love all. But we're glad each of you are here. I'd like to also to the church is reminds once again that a great task laid upon it cannot be accomplished if contention continues. The Haitian comes here, and greater unity than ever before is necessary if the forces of opposition are to be met. And such unity will prevail if those holding the priesthood will remember their commission to preach the gospel, and each officer will strive to discharge his own duty and maximize his calling. The promise has been given that no power shall stay the hand of God in accomplishment of his purposes among his people, and that the church shall move forward in the great work. Fulfillment of prophecy may cause the saints to tremble at the exhibition of divine power, that they shall rejoice in the protection sisters and bring you here. And I look forward to the hour we have. We go ahead and open him. We'll begin with 69. All creatures of our dying king. Father, we gather this day and worship you, Father, and come and bring your Son. We ask that the Holy Spirit will be poured out now in great abundance to the one who is born. Even bless those who might be with us on this journey. We're so thankful, Father, for the opportunity we have to come to this place, set aside, and worship you. And meet with these, my brothers and sisters. Father, we pray that the things you share with my brother Chris, you would share with us in the message. Pray that we'll be what we need here, that we might have ears for it, that we might have done what was in our lives and see what changes we need to make in your heart, whatever you work in the message. Father, we seek your blessing. We're glad that we'll be with you. God is supposed to be here, and we look forward to the blessing we would have for us on this side. We ask all of this in the presence of Jesus Christ. call to worship that Rob shared with us. One of the statements that was the exhibition of divine power because the saints trembled. It was on their behalf. And our particular congregation has been very much in the forefront of our priesthood in spreading the gospel, not just internationally, but also in the U.S. here. Brother John Eichhorn is in charge of the sort of sector, southern, southeast section of the United States, and Russell's missionary efforts are concerned there. And so we have supported our priesthood at St. John Eichhorn and all these various missions. And yet, we are looking at a time that is unparalleled in humankind. We are looking at the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. We live in the last day. We don't live in the last days. We live in the last day. And things are starting to happen at a rather accelerated rate. And so sometimes we tend to want to look at the circumstances of life, the events in the world that but I want us to remember that the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. And that goes for not just our priesthood as a share of the ministry, but it also includes us on our day-to-day activities as we interact with other people. We will find opportunities to share with other people. We need to be a strong witness. That is part of our stewardship, as well as our finances. And so as the brethren come before us to receive of our monies, bear in mind that we have tremendous potential, tremendous responsibility, but all glorious things. Those before us, for your love that sustains us. Father, as we prepare to offer that which we have, even monetarily, pray, Father, that you would bless the gift that was and give those who are charged with the dispersions of these funds to money may not be the new way for this, but that it will be used to the fullest extent to send over to the kingdom. Bless us to this end, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. My favorite hymn. All of them know it's my favorite hymn. I'm not sure. As I consider that hymn, consider my Father's world, I think of how much pleasure, you know, that Dr. Cummins tells us that the Lord's creation is there to bring pleasure to our lives. And I look on those things that bring me such pleasure. On a foggy morning, seeing a deer standing on a hilltop, silhouetted by the rising sun. So the dew on the grass and the sun shining, and it looks like sparkling diamonds. Especially if there's a spider web on the grass. I mean, this is beautiful. It's like a piece. The leaves as they begin to turn green, it's kind of beautiful. And these tiny little flowers that start to pop up out of the ground. You know, the first one that comes up here every year is called Send that word. If you ever look really close at the wonderful flower, that his appearance just looks like a little white flower. But he's got purple and orange and yellow. All these colors that I have no idea what they are. This is my first one. I can see them and appreciate them. And I think that if God created this world for us to look upon it, that it might bring us pleasure. It tells me a little bit more about how God feels about us and what He wants for us and what He's provided for us. Isn't that the same thing? Loves us. He's called us to love one another. As I was preparing today, there was I love these good books, the testimonies. Testimonies in there. Well, I don't know if you're also appreciated or not, but the church is. If you guys are paying me, I had a story or two about shooting. But as we read from Romans chapter 12, as Paul's writing to the church in Rome, he's telling them, he's beseeching them. It's different than telling, isn't it? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What is a reasonable service? What is it that God wants from us? What is it that's required from us? Why is it even required from us? So we just show up at church on Sunday, somebody else do the speaking, sing a song or two, give our offerings, go home, feel good about our life. Is that all there is to this? Does God have a purpose for each and every one of us? We know the answer to that question. We know God has a purpose for each and every one of us. He's placed us in places in our life to bring service to other people. In Mosiah chapter 1, we read King Benjamin's proclamation. And here's King Benjamin. He has He served his people. At the end of his time as the king is drawing nigh, he wants to pull them and bring them all together and remind them what their purpose is in God. What is their purpose in the kingdom? And as he begins to lay these things out to them, I love what it says that he brought them there not to trifle with the things, but he really wants to tell them what's in his heart and what's important. verse 43 of chapter 1 of Isaiah. He says, I say to you that I have been suffered to spend my days in your service even up to this time, and have not sought gold or silver nor any manner of riches of you. Neither have I suffered that you should be confined in dungeons, nor that you should make slaves one of another, nor that you should murder or plunder or steal or commit adultery. Nor have I suffered that you should commit any manner of wickedness, but have taught you that you should keep the commandments of the Lord in all things which he has commanded you. And even I myself have labored with my own hands that I might serve you, and that you should not be laden with taxes, and that there should nothing come upon you which was grievous to be borne. And of all these things which I have spoken, you yourselves are witnesses this day. You can ask Haman, be the king. Yet, my brethren, I have not done these things that I might boast. You do, I tell you these things, thereby I might accuse you. But I tell you these things that you may know that I can answer with a pure conscience before God this day. And behold, because I said to you, I have spent my days in your service, and do not desire to boast, for I am in the service of God. Verse 51, also, if I, whom you call your king, who have spent my days in your service, and yet have been in the service of God, there are any thanks for you, for how much much you will thank him as your king. I say to you, my brother, that you should render all the thanks and praise your full souls and power of disease, so that God who has created you, has kept and preserved you, has caused you to rejoice, and has granted that you should live at peace one with another. If you should serve him who has created you from the beginning and has preserved you from day to day by living your word, that you may live and move and do according to your own will, and is even supporting you from one moment to another, if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet you would be unprofitable to serve. He's not telling us that we can work all our lives and never do it again. He's saying that we can do all the good that we can possibly muster for our lives, but it's never going to match what he's done for us. You know, that's exactly what God's called us to do. He's wrote our invest. To do the service of the Lord's living. The two great commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He wants us to consider each other. He's placed us here in relationship to one another. You know, sometimes my beauty for the world will cause me to want to go someplace that is not marred by human hand. I would like to go someplace sometime and see the snow has fallen and no one has walked on it, and probably won't before it melts. That just draws me. And to go into the mountains alone and be there and not hear the sound of motor vehicles or construction or cars on the road or just not. But that's not what we're called. We're called into the world, to be in the world, not in the world. And we're called there to do service one to another. So as Paul is talking to the church here about this living, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, he's called us to make sacrifices. And he said that after Jesus came and he paid the ransom for us, and all of this Mosaic law of the sacrifice of animals was done away. He said, now what I want from you is what? What did God tell us that it was the sacrifice that he would accept from man? A broken heart and a contrite spirit. And why are our hearts broken? Because we think of that as a bad thing. We think of broken hearts as, oh, God, I've lost someone, I've lost something. And it's painful to me. This broken heart is the fact that we know who God is. And who we are. are two people that know what's in your heart, and that's you and God. You know who you are, and you know what you're standing with God. And He's asking us to give Him that heart. He's asking us to surrender that heart to Him. Humans try to check that box, don't they? You do everything you can to check that box. And but sometimes in this walk, in this world, that box is empty. Sometimes we see things, we experience things in our lives that cause the spirit to move. And I don't want to diminish that at all. But I do want us to remember and to be reminded that we can trust God with our hearts. I do want us to remember and to be reminded that there is nothing that we can't place in His hands, but what He has our best interest in mind. He wants the best for us. We don't understand the timeline, we don't understand His purposes, we don't need a lot of things to understand. We go for a couple of verses here in Hosea chapter 2, verse 13 and 17. Believe in God. Believe that He is and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. That's not hard to imagine, is it? That's not hard to believe. We as Christians, we know that God created all this, everything around us. It's not hard for us to picture and to imagine. Believe that man does not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. That's the hard part. We want to understand it. We want to know, I'm going to know this. There's just things about God that I'm never going to know. We can be okay with that. We're going to have a long time to ask Him those questions. He's going to explain those things to us. We'll understand. Again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. That broken heart can come to us too. And if you believe all these things, see what you do. We will trust God. I shared my testimony with you about that. Three times He asked me a question. He answered me yes. He loves me. That's what God is. And finally, yes. And I thought I'd come into that. Since that time, I've had some experiences with the Lord where I'm just wavering through those times. But He's proven that He is trustworthy. And He's proven that to me. His promises are sure. So He asks us to give, present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Alright? We read in Nehemiah chapter 2 about the church, and there was a time there that the church was doing well. Right? Was that before, this was before the time that Christ came, about 50 years or so. But during that time, the church experienced a lot of persecution. There were a lot of people that said, oh, this is just myths and imaginations. You heard those words today? And those things that you believe are not true, those things couldn't possibly come to pass. And yet the people wanted to present their bodies a living sacrifice. They wanted to perform their reasonable service.
so the church met together often. And they prayed and they fasted. And because they prayed, they fasted and met together, their faith was strengthened. It was strengthened to a point where they were sanctified. And the scripture tells us that that sanctification came because they yielded their hearts to God. So, Lord, whatever it is that you have for me, whatever it is that I have to endure, whatever it is that you are taking me through here, I know that you can take me through this. And I know that you love me. And so here's my heart. In Ezekiel, we read that you take that heart from us, that stony heart, and you return to us a heart of flesh. Heart that is soft, that he might be able to work with us, that he might be able to use us, that he might be able to have a people that's prepared to move forward in the work of kingdom. Story for you guys, okay? This is about some young girls, maybe just a little bit older than me, not much older than me. They were part of the church, and this was a few years ago. This was during the time of the Stone Church in Kansas. Her name was Jen. Anybody named Jen? Jenny and her group of young girls had a desire to participate in finishing the Stone Church. This time, the basement had been completed, and it was their meeting place. The rafters, the sides, and sheathing were put on, and they were putting on the roof. Jenny and her group decided upon an ice cream social to raise money. What was this ice cream? Since she did not want to ask for donations or go into debt, she went uptown to the businessmen and asked if they would help with this project. Many agreed to provide the materials, and Jenny promised to pay them back out of the money they had made. The Bartholomew Orchard was only a few doors east of the Stone Church, and this was selected for the location of the ice cream social. So everybody would get up there and buy their ice cream and enjoy it, and then that money would go to the old Stone Church. The day arrived, the girls decorated the orchard with Japanese lanterns and streamers with hung suspended from the trees. Tables and chairs had been neatly arranged to accommodate a large crowd as the ice cream social had been well advertised. So that afternoon, the sky grew darker and darker with heavy black clouds. A very hard rain threatened. As the time for the ice cream social grew closer and closer, so did the storm. In deep concern, Jenny suggested to her friends that they needed to pray. There were several factors involved. Hard rain was doing the basement of the Stone Church, which had been plastered and finished. It was the only meeting place in which the saints could meet for church. The rain would also prevent the girls from making the contribution they had worked so hard for, and they would not be able to repay the businessmen for the materials that they had promised. Then, too, it would also stop the men of the church from working as fast as they could to get the roof on the building before the rain set. Jenny assured the girls that God was able to keep the rain from stopping their social and to work on the church if their faith was there. After talking with them, Jenny led her young friends to a quiet place in the orchard away from the busy street. Here they formed a circle, held hands, and each poured out their heart to God. After their prayers, they went back to complete their work. Soon everything was in readiness, and people began to arrive. Suddenly, the storm hit and finished, and the rain literally poured across the street on the temple lot. The water was running down so hard that it looked like a sheet. Well, the orchard and the Stone Church hardly a drop of water collected. Men coming home from work in Kansas City rode through this terrible downpour. They decided Jenny and her girls would need some help to get those drenched things put away, so they went to the orchard with the intention of helping. surprised and delighted they were to see Aspen so short and full swing. Concerned businessmen drove through that downpour from the square. They expected to see the orchard wet and deserted. Imagine their amazement when they saw the lights burning brighter, and the orchard crowded with people sitting in dry seats at tables where no rain had fallen. As a result of God's blessing, the roof was completed on the stone church. Jenny and her friends were able to pay the businessmen back for what they contributed. They had more money from the project than they had ever contributed from any one project before. And best of all, they knew that they'd share their miracle. They would never forget. You see, God, now you look. Sometimes we don't enjoy those miracles because we don't ask for them. Or because we ask, or because maybe we ask for something, and we don't hope that we can do it. How many times have you ever seen a miraculous event and you just say to yourself, I can't believe that? That just comes out of the nose, doesn't it? Knowing the God that we serve, knowing that He is capable and is willing, but also He has created this world for us to have pleasure in, and to bring His pleasure. And He holds that. And He gives our words. This is the God we serve. What He's telling the church in Rome here is that we make the sacrifice of our heart. And then we perform the service for God. But in serving others, as King Benjamin told us, we're serving God. It's all a part of this plan that He has. And then we do it with the heart that trusts Him. And what He's placed in His hands. And we're willing to accept the will. The things that He has promised to us. So what does He want from us? What kind of service can we do? We can help raise money for the church, can't we? Many of us did that here, didn't we? This building. Help raise money for that. Is that a good thing? Yes. Absolutely. Many of you sacrificed many things, money, time, effort, equipment, that this building can be built. To be a place that we can come and worship Him. And serve together. Mosiah chapter 9. Alma is sharing with the people there, the waters of water, the things that Abinadi taught them. And Abinadi came and he taught them. First he brought word to the priests and how they were acting and things that they needed to do. He also brought word to the church. Words that were new repeated of. And Alma's repeating these words to the church. He's telling them, this is what you need to do if you want to be part of Christ's church. Mosiah 9, the beginning of verse 35. After many days, there were a goodly number gathered together to the place of one to hear the words of Abraham. All were gathered together together that believed on his words to hear him. And he taught them and preached to them repentance and redemption and faith in the Lord. And he said unto them, behold, here the waters of Jordan, for the sake of all. If you are desirous to come into the fold of Jordan, and to be called his people, and are willing to work, to be willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light. Bear one another's burden. How do we do that? This is what we believe in. That there's none who's not. could also be there when people have needs. If somebody has a burden, it's too dead for them to bear. And help them to put up their burden. And they're willing to mourn with those that mourn and comfort those that stand in need of comfort. These are important things for us to do in the church, to one another. And I believe that those things will happen to you. But then it can happen to you at all. You need to be willing to do these things. To stand as witnesses of God at all times, in all things, in all places that you may be in, even as a boy. This is part of that covenant that we make when we go to the waters of baptism and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this covenant is a promise that we make to God for the service that we will do that will benefit others. We also read in 2 Nephi chapter 13. You do like to hear an image of that. Here it's talking about baptism, and now after baptism is all done. You know the answer to that is no. We have not come this far save by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying fully upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore you must press forward with steadfastness in Christ. Having a perfect brightness of hope. That's an interesting sentence, and we've talked about this sentence together before. You know, that the light of Jesus Christ shines from us. This perfect hope that we've been given because of Jesus Christ is something that he wants the world to experience. He wants us to share that with them. And this hope is something that people can see in our lives. It's bright. It emanates from us. It's part of that countenance of Christ that we read about in Romans chapter 3. It shines forth from us. And I love my God and I love me. It's a big thing. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus says the Father, you shall have eternal life. And behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is no other way for me to give unto him, but by me to be saved unto God. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and only the true doctrine of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is one God, and that is you. Therefore, I would that you should be steadfast and immovable. Those two words mean to us, steadfast and immovable. Many times in this world, it seems like it's very easy for us to get moved off center. Maybe we're offended about something. And so we decide to remove ourselves from that situation. It's been given by the Holy Spirit to do. To be immovable is to be like Jesus Christ. Scriptures tell us and just prove to us time and time again that he's the same yesterday, today, forever. He doesn't change. He doesn't change because our thinking has changed. He doesn't change because society's changed. He doesn't change because we think we should change. But our desires and our wants and our wishes. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He is our standard. We should not be moved from that place. Because of the enticings of men, because we're ashamed of the gospel, and whatever the excuse might be, we should not be moved from that place. Be steadfast and immovable. Being steadfast and immovable, we're being that witness of Jesus Christ at all times and all places and all things. We're moved about by every man, wind, change. That is your testimony. That is your witness. We have a responsibility to be true to that sacrifice that we make of our hearts and not to go back. Jesus came to this continent and he appeared to those who were more righteous. And he established his church among them, and he shared with them what he wanted for them to do, what they needed to do, the people that they should be. And so my assignment for you is this week to go back to Matthew 13:5. And Jesus teaching to them. Point as he is sharing with them in the 9th chapter of 13:1. He's talked to them about praying. And he's prayed for them. And he told them to pray. When he came back, they were still praying. And he went away and prayed again, and he came back and they were still praying. Jesus made an end of praying and came again to the disciples and said, "There is so great faith that I've never seen among all the Jews. Before I could not show to them so great miracles because of their unbelief. Verily I say to you, these are none of them that have there are none of them that have seen so great things as you've seen. Neither have they heard so great things as you've heard. And command the multitude that they should cease to pray. And also the disciples, but he commanded them that they should not cease to pray in their hearts. He commanded them that they should rise and stand upon their feet, and they arose and stood on their feet. And instituted disciples among them." Recently, we've seen the results of prayer. How many testimonies do we have in this congregation? But prayer and fervent answer and blessings and miracles taking place in our midst. If you look closely at things, you'll see that those things begin to happen more often. And those miracles are becoming more powerful. Share with you a testimony of the saints in Rwanda. Some of you that haven't heard it, I'll share real quickly. There was a situation there, ownership of property in Rwanda is a really touching thing. And since the genocide, and the government and people would say, "Here, give this to somebody else." And you would blame saints there, young priest who's the pastor of the congregation, spoke over his wife at the home, and they got people coming in for the meeting church, and so they interviewed Sokolo one night. And these are the group of people that the ladies go from house to house and plant the gardens at the beginning of the growing season until everyone's gardens are planted. And they go into the homes of those who don't have help in their homes or they can't do the work themselves and clean their homes for them, take care of their children, invite their children from the church, and have this little bat where the children come and they read stories to them from the Bible. I love the work that's going on in Zoe. But they understood the principles of the gospel that Jesus had laid it out before them, that they should bear one another's burdens. And the bank came to this young couple and said, you owe this much money, you have to pay it back in 30 days. This is the northern amount of money to pay. It's about $600 US. That's more money than they earned in a year. There was no way that they could get this money together to pay this thing. And the property of the church would have no place to keep. And the couple that wouldn't wear it for the years. It just was heartbreaking. And the saints came together and they prayed. And they asked the Lord, how could this be solved? How can we do this? Each one of them went to their homes and they put together all the money that they could find and they brought it. It wasn't enough to pay the entire bill, but it was a big portion. And there were some other funds that could send over by someone here in America for the population that had not been utilized. And others from other congregations around Pittsburgh. And within that 30 days, the two couples were able to split the bank. And share with the bank, people of the church put together this money. They could pay these bills, so they could keep these properties, so they could get in the church there. And the president of the bank said, what kind of a church is this people's money? He'd never heard of it. What kind of church do you belong to? And so he told them. He told them about the church of Jesus Christ and the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And he was incredulous. And the officers of the bank came out and listened to the story. They couldn't believe it. He said, well, there's a problem. They didn't get the money to pay off the initial loan that they're depending on. He didn't want to walk down the street. It was about $36. He didn't want to walk down the street. And she prayed to the Lord. She believed that he would be there to someone to give her the money. And she walked into the man's street and asked him for the situation. When we live our lives by the principles of the doctrine of Christ, when we share our burdens one with another, when we put our complete faith and trust in Him, that changes things. Elisha's servant couldn't see a way out. He looks out and he sees all the armies in camp around them and he wakes up to Elisha and says, what should we do? Elisha's like, what do you mean? He prays and Lord opened his eyes. And the host of heaven surrounded that army. There were many more than anything that the king of Syria could bring upon us. That's always the way. There's always more of God's power than there is of anything else. Good, only that number is evil. And good will overcome evil in this world. We have good to offer. And this is our reason for service. This asks us to do that service. Most of that service happens to be those people. Serving others and serving God. I end by reading the scripture that Rob read again. The promise has been given that no power shall stay the hand of God in the accomplishment of his purposes among his people. That's a loving statement. And as the church shall move forward in its great work, this work of service, this work of giving our hearts and submitting our will to God, the fulfillment of prophecy may cause the saints to tremble at the exhibition of divine power, yet they shall rejoice in the protection of their parents. Recently, a young man was injured. You know how he used to. And the church came together and prayed. He walked out of the hospital and nothing off him. That's a marathon. Sometimes we try to, you wouldn't have quite bad without you. Okay. Brother and I were at camp, they're playing basketball. The young man turns to me, I'm standing right there, and I heard it first. The spirit was awful. Immediately, just in this screaming, cry of pain on the ground. And the whole camp stopped and hit their knees and began to pray. Put our hands on him to minister to him. Never had this happen. But again, prayer and recovery. Blessing the Lord to me. I thank the Lord for the blessing now, so we need. Power in you. Blessings of God that we're about to see come forth in this earth. Yes, you tremble. I hope you tremble for joy. And the excitement knowing that God is true to his promises. And that no power will stay his hand in the divine protection of his people.
Use us closing hymn to number 458. And then there's Bob Davis to do. And there's 2458.
Thank you.